New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Happy 2026, Alyssa.
2026. Year of the horse.
A year? Oh, well, not yet.
Not yet.
Coming up in the end
early
of the
February.
Year. The year of the snake and then Lunar New Year is at the beginning of February. Year of the horse. Yep. Hey, I'm into it. I'm done with snakes.
Me too.
I'm ready to be done
Time
with snakes.
Time to move on.
So at this weekend's Critics' Choice Awards, stars of Hacks, Meg Stalter, and Paul Downs walked the red carpet dressed exactly like Timothée Chalamet and Kylie Jenner at the premiere of Marty Supreme a few months prior. Stalter completely deadpan claimed that she and Downs had borrowed their outfits from friends, implying that they'd borrowed them from the aforementioned couple, and mugged like a Kardashian for the step and repeat. It was fucking delightful.
It was very funny.
Stalter is one of the funniest women in America. One of the funniest people in America.
She is.
Absolutely so fucking funny. Alyssa, if you had to borrow somebody else's iconic red carpet look for an award show, whose would you borrow?
You know, Erin, I don't know. Maybe I'd have a little fun. Maybe I'd do the Bjork swan dress.
You could rock that.
Don't you think? I feel like you have to be short. I don't know why.
You have to be small and whimsical.
They have to envision my legs underwater paddling quickly.
I think that I would go with, it depends on like if I'm trying to be funny or if I'm like, I can't pull off funny right now. But if I was trying to be funny, it'd be the Britney Spears denim strapless dress.
Oh, that'd
dress.
Be good.
Or alternately, the Justin Timberlake denim like suit that he wore when
that was quite a look. Didn't they go matching? Right?
Yes,
they were matching
did.
That year.
Yes, yes. They went as a denim duo. And I think it'd be really fun to go like as a like a woman doing a Canadian tuxedo on a red carpet, I think would be a lot of fun.
We have found next year's Halloween costume, Erin.
Oh my God. Okay. Yes. I'll think more about this when the show is over. Also the Princess Diana revenge dress would be a fun one.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
100%.
On today's show, we dive into the latest Epstein files drop. We talk about what happens now that the Obamacare subsidies have expired.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about Barry Weiss's new town hall series. I bet that's going to be great. And Trump's crusade against federal child care funding. Then we talk about the new Netflix show, Members Only Palm Beach, a show that's
Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, sorry. A show that scared my four-year-old, which should just be called The Real Housewives of Mar-a-Lago, as you mentioned. And then, of course, Sani Petty. Okay, now let's get to the show. This is Hysteria, the podcast for people who are choosing between which world war they're going to hyperfixate on over the next few weeks.
So many to choose from.
As a coping mechanism. No, I mean, like, that's true. But there have been other, like, large conflicts that you could hyperfixate on, I think, as a way to try to understand what we're doing right now. Like, you could go quagmire. You could try to hyperfixate on Vietnam if you really want to, like,
that.
Get into a quagmire-type situation.
You could, like, really learn about what happened in Panama with Noriega.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could get into the Noriega thing. Me, personally, I'm still on a Hitler kick, learning a lot about Hitler. Some of it is encouraging. Not like Hitler did good things, but encouraging in that there are very marked differences from the period of time we're living
Every
now
and again, you find a parallel that's not a parallel.
Yes, every time. And then every once in a while, you're like, uh-oh, this is exactly the same. But yeah, I think I'm sticking to World War II, although World War I would be a fun one to fixate on if I'm, like, going to get into mustaches. I feel like people had some very spectacular mustaches in the run-up to World War I, especially.
They were real fashion.
They were real. They were doing stuff to their face, the men. What were they hiding? What were they hiding?
No upper lip.
That's true. That's true. Speaking of hiding things, the Justice Department was required by law to deliver a gift-wrapped, redacted Epstein file to America's stocking this Christmas, but instead it just delivered a pile of unwrapped socks and a fart sound. Right as we left for break, the Department of Justice began begrudgingly releasing some of the previously unreleased documents pertaining to Epstein as part of the Epstein Files Transparency Act passed by Congress late last year. In the almost 4,000 files released, we got a whole lot of redactions, some grainy photos, and handwritten notes. More on the contents in a moment. The law passed by Congress explicitly directed the DOJ to share all documents related to Epstein, Maxwell, and individuals named or referenced in connection with Epstein's criminal activities, a.k.a. naming names. The law also required all the information about past plea deals, documents related to not charging Epstein for other alleged crimes, and any records related to his suicide. So, did Pam Bondi and the DOJ meet this deadline? As Countess Luann once said, not really.
Not really.
Is that how it was delivered?
Yeah. She goes, not really.
Not really. Okay. That's okay. Thank you for that note, Caroline. The original deadline was December 19th, 2025. It's long past, but worry not because the department said they will release the documents as soon as possible. However, due to the mass volume of material, the process may take a few more weeks. Okay. Alyssa.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pause right here for a second. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought when the law originally passed and December 19th was the deadline, I was like, they did this on fucking purpose. They deliberately,
Christmas.
They deliberately wanted the release of the Epstein files to back up against Christmas so that it would be the least visibility time of the year. So I feel like slow walking the installation of Arizona's elected official who Mike Johnson refused to swear in was done on purpose. I think that the government shutdown was I'm going to sound so tinfoil hatty, but I feel like we are not talking about, you know, what's happening in Venezuela. If you want to listen to that, to learn about that, Pod Save the World is doing a ton of work on that. But when we were talking about the show this week, we were like, I mean, it feels like a distraction. Donald Trump tells people what he wants them to think about and talk about, and usually he succeeds.
Yeah, it's so wag the dog.
It is very wag the dog. So, I mean, like, and so now, you know, the Epstein files, you know, the DOJ broke the law, basically. Unfortunately, the law.
They ignored the law.
Yeah, but that's breaking the law.
Congress,
if you ignore
whatever.
The speed limit, you're breaking the law, right?
Right. I mean, yes.
That's the same. It's the same thing. Might not have broken it on purpose, but they ignored the law. Unfortunately, the law, this is another thing that's confused me. The law, had no enforcement mechanism written into it.
Well, that's the thing.
They just, wrote a dumb law. They were like, yeah, please do this. And if not, oh, well.
Please just do it.
I mean, I feel like if you're a lawmaker, having an enforcement mechanism should be part of the law.
Well, it feels like there's some cause and effect, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's no enforcement mechanism, why? It's like if you give me a credit card bill with a due date, but I don't get interest accrued or penalties if I don't pay it, why am I going to pay it?
Right. Well, and here's the thing. Like, yes, if there's no penalty, then why? Who cares? Like, if there's no penalty to not doing the thing, then who cares? The thing that I think other people are not really talking about as much, because there's so much to talk about this week, whatever. The DOJ and the FBI have been lying their faces off about the Epstein files for well over a year. Recall last July, I know that was 10 years ago, but last July, or another time around a holiday weekend, which is crazy, the Department of Justice released a statement saying that they'd gone through all the Epstein files. They'd gone through all of them, and there was no reason to release any more, and there was no reason to charge anybody with anything else. So they were fucking lying then. They were lying.
They've been zigzagging since the jump, the transition, since the campaign.
Exactly. So had they looked through them then or not? Were they lying then? Are they lying now? Are they lying both times? They are not a reliable source of information when it comes to the Epstein files. They're also not really reliably good at hiding things. Something that we'll talk about the contents as well, but something that people noticed shortly after this heavily redacted document drop was that the redactions could be unredacted by copying and pasting it into a Word document.
Adobe, yeah.
Or putting it in a different kind of format and changing the saturation and contrast on certain things. And then certain documents were appearing and disappearing from the government's cache and they were not organized. And anyway, CNN is reporting that there's a growing frustration inside the department and that lawyers aren't getting clear or comprehensive direction on how to make the most information available under the law. They also reported that they are already preparing for the possibility that the release of the files will have more redactions than what is required and that there may be mistakes in what's redacted and what's made public. These people suck at their jobs.
Zoinks, Scoob. I mean, literally, sit there with your blackout marker and go through it and do this. Why is this so hard?
You know what I think? I think that, first of all, I think a lot of people in the Trump administration are fundamentally lazy. I think Pam Bondi is a lazy person as well. And I think that they hire lazy people to work for them and they employ lazy methods in doing the work. So not only like lazy people are in charge, they delegate lazy work ethic to the people who are working underneath them. And I think, and this is just purely based on vibes, I think that people working in justice and in the FBI were told to use like AI programs and like
that's probably true.
Like time saving measures that are technologically advanced and possibly made by friends of the Trump administration and sold to the government at large amounts of money, but they don't really work. They're not very good. There's also some reporting that when DOGE was just sort of slash and burning different parts of the government, pulling wires and plugs out and not knowing what did what and just being like, see, we fixed it. That they also canceled an Adobe subscription.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Would have kept the redactions that had been made prior to the subscription being canceled. That would have kept them intact, but with the subscription canceled, made it so that that redactions were no longer like sturdy across different platforms. Essentially, So it just seems like a lot of ineptitude, a lot of laziness. That's my read on the situation.
Well, and I think we're not even sure what guidance they're getting.
Right.
Like, who are you redacting? I mean, in theory, the people being redacted should only be people who are the victims, not the perpetrators. Like, that's the crazy part of this. Like, why is this so hard?
Right.
Like, underage women's names should be redacted.
Girls. Those are girls.
Girls' names should be redacted. Sorry.
No,
yes,
no, it's fine. But I think underage women just appears so much in the media.
I know. I didn't mean to say it.
No, it's okay.
Underage women.
We all make mistakes.
The victims.
I make mistakes, too. Like, whatever. And we can't just say girls over and over again because then that gets boring and repetitive. The thing that I found, like, upsetting, just, like, looking at social media, there's a lot of things upsetting about it, but there were, like, there's pictures with Trump in them that were redacted and then unredacted when people were like, wait a minute, this picture has Trump in it. Like, there were pictures of, you know, powerful men. It sort of looked like if you were somebody who believed in a conspiracy behind covering this up, it sort of looked like people were able to request having their identities redacted. There were, like, record executives. It just seemed very odd. There was a lot of Bill Clinton content in there.
They released as much Bill Clinton. I mean, everything they had, they must have released.
I think that, you know, MAGA accuses people of having Trump derangement syndrome, but there is no syndrome more pervasive in MAGA world than Clinton derangement syndrome.
100%.
And the Clinton derangement syndrome has convinced people on MAGA that we fucking worship Bill Clinton. We love Bill Clinton. We have Clinton hats and Bibles and, you know, shoes and cell phones and like, you know, we're naming our babies after Bill Clinton. But like, we don't fucking care about Bill Clinton. I cannot think of a single person, maybe my parents, who were like big Bill Clinton supporters in the 90s, would be like, oh, man, that's a bummer.
But they that's the thing. I think they would, if he did something wrong, they'd want to hold him to account. Like, that's the whole difference.
Yes.
You can be a fan of someone and not a disciple.
Yes. And I truly think that the people that profiteered on Clinton hate in the 90s and the people who consumed Clinton hate materials have isolated themselves and insulated themselves so much that they believe that on the other side of their, like, information silo is a abject worship of Bill Clinton that just, like, does not exist. Which is, like, a good reminder to everybody that, like, if you are somebody who is on an ideological extreme or you surround yourself with people who are like-minded, it's very important for you to talk to people sometimes who are different from you or read something. Because I think that people have constructed an imaginary Democrat in their mind that is in no way close to the reality of people that would have supported Bill Clinton in the 90s. It's very, very weird. Democrats are pissed. And then Thomas Massie, the broken clock that's right this time, is also pretty pissed. He's been on the forefront of trying to get these files unredacted and released to the public. In the House, Representatives Ro Khanna and the aforementioned Thomas Massie are considering pursuing inherent contempt charges against Pam Bondi. Now, is that a Thomas Pynchon novel? No. It's something a little bit easier to understand.
Mm.
Okay, so inherent contempt power permits Congress, I'm just reading from our notes, to rely on its own constitutional authority to detain and imprison a contemptor. So, Congress jail for Pam Bondi? Like,
I mean, look, maybe it could happen.
But where would they put her?
I don't know. Maybe, like, I don't know. I couldn't imagine where they would put her.
I mean, in the Republican women's bathroom, since it gets used so infrequently.
But I feel like saving Pam Bondi is a hill none of them will die on. Do you know what I mean? So they're like, all right, listen, go ahead, take Pam. Put Pam away. This isn't the hill we're going to die on.
Yeah.
Be funny.
I think that's something that women who align themselves with MAGA lose sight of is the fact that at the core of MAGA is a deep misogyny. And if you're a woman, you're going to be the one that's thrown on the fire first.
Pam Bondi, call Elise Stefanik. Ask how it's gone.
Yeah. Call Elise Stefanik. Call Michelle Bachmann. You know?
Who?
Call Michelle Bachmann. See how she's doing. What happened to her?
Where Marge?
Call Marjorie. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene is, we'll see how it goes for her. We have predicted that it probably will end with her not meeting her goals. But, you know, that's a lesson we can't learn for her. She's going to have to learn it herself. Chuck Schumer called the partial release a blatant cover-up, adding, what are they trying to hide? Wow.
Right, Chuck.
Thanks for that edgy analysis. The sort of edgy analysis I always expect from Chuck Schumer. Are they hiding? Could they be hiding something? Wow.
What's happening?
Thank you. Thank you. Finally, somebody said it. Ugh. He also introduced legislation that requests the Senate take legal action to hold the DOJ accountable for failing to comply with the deadline set out in the law. Listen, let me just say this.
I like the inherent contempt more.
I like inherent contempt. That's exactly the kind of batshittery.
Yes.
Democrats need to embrace the batshittery of the era. We need to take, okay, turnabout is fair play. What would MAGA do? If the Epstein files were like just chock full of Democrats, which, you know, they probably are, but it's like about half and half, you know, it's a trail mix of all political
ideologies. What would MAGA
ideology.
Do? We're like 2 days past January 6th.
Exactly. That's it. And you know what? They're lucky that we're only saying, like, let's put Pam Bondi in a TBD Congress jail.
Right.
Versus what they would be calling for. I think that, yeah, you're. I think that's a
hang
really
Mike
good point.
Pence. That's what they called for.
That's what they called for. So here are some things that were in the files that were released. Did you look at the pictures?
I did.
Did you see? Okay, I don't really want to talk. Like, there's stuff that my brain kind of nopes out on, like Epstein with very young girls.
Yep. I know exactly the picture you're talking
about.
Yeah,
where I'm just like, nope. But there, the thing that has stuck with me most viscerally is like his decor choices.
He's tacky as fuck.
It looks like what QAnon thought was in the basement of the pizza place.
Yeah.
You know, like,
no, it is just to put a fine point on it. This is a little sidebar. Did you see the post from the photographer who did the spread on the White House for Vanity Fair a couple weeks ago, Chris Anderson?
Was it
his post about Epstein?
Did he photograph Epstein?
Yes. So,
okay,
years
yes,
ago.
I saw that, but I didn't read it all the way.
Years ago, he photographed Epstein, and it's a wild tale because he was commissioned to photograph him. Epstein went to him and was like, I want all these photos. When you're done, I'll pay you $20,000. Anderson was like just in the beginning of his career, so he made the deal. But the story got canned. And so he couldn't give the photos away right away because they hadn't run yet. And Epstein sent his hitman after him. He said, oh, yeah, he sent his hitman after him. He sent threatening. I mean, he terrorized this man's life. And so Anderson posted some of the photos on his Instagram page.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Epstein, knowing he's being photographed, is constantly with this, like, stuffed tiger. I mean, it was so fucking weird. Mm-hmm. And but to the decor point, it's all like this very gaudy kind of like Baroque wood, you know, like his like these massive desks and like it's all just very, it's very, very gaudy. It's kind of, it's like when you see his decor, you're like, maybe that's why he's that. That's maybe the connective tissue between he and Donald Trump. That's why they like each other. They have terrible decor.
But it's also very like culty.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
And strange and like, you know, a lot of human faces, a lot of human figures that are not calming whatsoever.
Odd. If I walk, very odd.
Like if I met somebody, I you know, I enjoy filling my stable of acquaintances with characters. I love a character, you know?
Of course.
And even if I don't totally agree with them and find them strange or whatever, like as long as I don't think that they're dangerous, I'll like socialize with somebody, you know?
Yeah.
But if I went over to their house, or if they were like, I've got this tropical house, come to my tropical house. And I went to their house and there was a room there with like a dentist chair and a bunch of like masks that look like Hollywood celebrities on the wall. I would be like, I need to go home. I can't like, I haven't seen anything. I need to
completely
go home.
Completely agree.
And I think I don't think I'm going to respond to your texts anymore. Like, I don't think we're going to hang out anymore. And it's perplexing to me that so many people that were like rich and powerful, including Bill Clinton, including people like former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, and you know, including people who I supported politically or had thought highly of as like political figures. Like, how can you see that and be like, yep, okay, gonna keep hanging out with this guy. This sounds fine. This is all fine.
There's no way any of the photos that we saw, there wasn't one that was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, decor-wise, none of them are okay in general.
They're all so, so strange. And then the painting of Bill Clinton wearing a blue dress.
Yeah, that was fucking weird.
If I came to your house, Alyssa, and you had a picture of me in drag, I would be like,
what are you doing?
Why is this in your house?
No, it's just, it makes, it's, he looks like, also he was painted, Bill Clinton in drag looks like a very bad impression of B. Arthur. And it's like, I don't want to see B. Arthur in that outfit either. Like, what do you, it was all very strange. They definitely made a point of releasing any photo. Like, here's what I think. There are no photos that we will be surprised by now of, like, people who are quote-unquote Democrats. Like, I think they mined the well as deep as it would go to release any photo for any person we might have sympathy or affection for. Mm-hmm. They dragged Diana Ross into this. Michael Jackson, I mean, like, Michael Jackson kind of tracks.
I'm not feeling great about Michael Jackson.
But I mean, like, any
something off about
any
that guy.
Pop culturally popular person,
right?
They I feel like they released. I feel like there are no surprises left as far as that goes.
I mean, there was an email that was exchanged in January 2020, wherein a prosecutor in New York wrote that. Donald Trump had actually traveled on Epstein's private jet many more times than previously had been reported,
or
that they were aware. Here's something that I'm thinking of. And again, this is just me based on like pattern recognition and things that people who have been close to the case have told me. I think that Jeffrey Epstein was not the top of this situation. I don't think that he was. I think that and maybe there was somebody laterally as important as him in his like whatever. But Epstein was just the one that had the true passion for harming girls that makes the whole story even more salacious. But I think that the center of the Epstein operation was money laundering.
100%. Totally agree.
And a lot of the people who he laundered money for are still in powerful positions around the world, in corporations, in governments, in you know, NGOs, whatever. I think that there are in academia. I think there are a lot of people that Jeffrey Epstein helped break the law, and I think that a lot of those people, if everything came out, would be ruined by the revelations. I think that when Donald Trump talked about how people that he is friends with would be harmed by the Epstein files, I don't think he was talking about the sex stuff, because I think deep down inside, Donald Trump knows that girls are disposable in a misogynistic culture. And I think that what he cares about is money. And mm-hmm. what he is afraid of is his money. And what would be harmed is not his friend's reputation, because Donald Trump is already has the reputation of being a fucking dirtbag and a sex pest. He is afraid of something happening to his money. And he's afraid of something happening to his friend's money. And I hate to sound cynical here, because I think that the mechanized abuse of girls is the headline here. I think that it is the most horrible thing that Jeffrey Epstein did. But I think the thing that could bring the most people down that Epstein did and was involved in was launder money for powerful people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we're ever going to hear the entire truth about it. And I don't know.
Someday.
It's someday. In like 50, you know what? That's going to be my goal for remaining healthy. I want to live for like 50 more years. So that I can actually see this. Like, you know, grandma will be, you know, in her little
shaking a
bed.
Cane.
I'll just be like flipping through these pages that finally get unredacted by the United States government. I don't know if it's going to be the United States of Canada at that point. But yeah, I mean, maybe we'll know the truth someday. But I really think that they're trying to stop people from knowing what Jeffrey Epstein was doing in addition to all the sexual abuse.
Absolutely.
What do you make of what was released beyond what we've discussed?
I didn't find any of it particularly shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Did you? I mean, like nothing really that interesting. I guess it's not that it's not interesting and it's not that it's not important. It's that I think that we see what they released and know how much more wasn't released.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. that, you know, what was released, okay, great. You found every picture of Bill Clinton. Like, okay. Like, it just
I mean, we
doesn't...
already knew he was, like, not
right.
a good person morally.
But we knew they were friends, mm-hmm. you know? And they've always said that there were, in the interviews and everything that's been done, yes, he was there. That does not mean that he... They have not released evidence... Yes, he was adjacent all of it, but, you know.
And Bill Clinton has
there's
said—
There's a lot of insinuation and innuendo.
Right. But I think that at the very least, at the very best for Bill Clinton here, at the very best, he's a very bad judge of character.
And absolutely.
And he spent a lot of time ignoring obvious signs of the—but I don't—I find this excuse— He would have spent a lot of time ignoring very obvious signs that the person he was spending a lot of time with, his friend, was like— doing extremely morally inappropriate things. So that's the most generous read of Bill Clinton's involvement
For sure.
here. The least generous read is that he was doing all the same things that Epstein was doing, which we don't have any evidence that he was.
No.
The truth is probably in the middle, is that he was maybe just taking note of what he saw, registered it, and decided he didn't care and still was going to be friends with this guy anyway. I don't know. But I also like... don't think that Bill Clinton is the most consequential person here. The president of the fucking United States was yeah. on this guy's airplane, like, a lot. Like, a lot. This was his best friend.
Did business with... Like, here's the thing. They released photos that if you go through each of them, it's hard to tell how many were distinct visits if you're mm-hmm. looking at Bill Clinton. Like, is this one trip and he wore two outfits? Like, it's not entirely clear.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, there are pictures of the two of them together going back over a period of 20 years all over the place, mm-hmm. all different events, casual, yucking it up, laughing, out in social situations. Like, it's just, we know that there's, the smoking gun has not been revealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's see if Pam Bondi and the DOJ do what they're supposed to do.
Well, we haven't heard from Dan Bongino since he like decided to.
Oh,
bounce.
Yes, we have. He like he what did he said something mean to Matt Gaetz, which
oh.
fine, let them fight. No, he's going to start his podcast again. Don't worry, Alyssa.
No, I know the podcast. I know the podcast is coming back, but I'm like,
yeah, he's starting a podcast, and there's a bunch of people that are like in MAGA world that are like, oh yeah, FAFO, and it's like, oh my God, you guys, he was like literally in the FBI, just like complained about how much he had to work at his job, which was like one of the first things he did. He was like, oh my God, I have to work all the time.
He was like, sad about being in the office by 10.
Yeah, he was sad about having a regular job. He was whining about the Epstein file stuff, but not actually doing anything about it. He was about as effective as an Ivanka influencing policy there. And then when he gets out, he starts like, you know, chicken hawk tweeting. He's like, yeah, fucking come at me, bro, which is like the lamest shit. Like, these guys are addicted to whatever jolt of dopamine they get from getting in fights on X.com, and it really seems pathological. But I do enjoy watching these guys, like, duke it out. I have no, you know, I've got no dog in the fight, but, you know, whatever. All right, one more thing before we take a quick break. Alyssa, take it away.
More, they're just using Christmas. They love Christmas. They want to bring Christmas back so they can hide things in it.
Let's make Christmas last a month.
They tried. They tried the best they could.
They really did.
Well, Aaron, while people were trying to celebrate the best they could and take a little break, Obamacare subsidies for millions of Americans have expired, and Congress has still not done anything about it. In case you forgot, millions of Americans under the ACA were receiving tax credits to help reduce their health care costs. And with this expiration, their premiums are reverting back to pre-2021 levels, which for some is more than double their current costs. Hmm. Healthcare analysts are forecasting that the expiration could lead to 4.8 million people opting out of health insurance entirely, and on average, more than 20 million subsidized enrollees in the Affordable Care Act program are seeing their premium costs rise by about 114% in 2026, according to an analysis done by the healthcare research nonprofit KFF.
Hmm.
But Aaron, Trump says he's going to talk to insurance companies. He's going to talk to them about lowering prices.
This is so... They have never had a plan for repealing and replacing Obamacare. They've been saying they've had a plan for 10 years.
Which they've wanted to do it. They never had a plan, which is why they'd never been able to repeal it. John McCain could have told you. It's like... It's bad.
Marjorie Taylor Greene has been telling us. She's like, there's no plan.
Yes, she has.
I find it so, like, I just blacked out for a second thinking about Donald Trump having a reputation among his fans as being a guy who tells it like it is. But he's, like, the biggest liar in politics, and he just does not care about telling the truth. And this, what he's saying now about insurance, how he wants to give people their own money in order to spend it on healthcare is like asinine. It is asinine. Now, do I like the idea of subsidizing insurance companies from the government? Do I like that idea
as a
permanent solution? No way. I feel like if there is a situation that gets us out of this, like the fix needs to have a sunsetting provision
for sure.
Subsidies, and then those people who no longer qualify for subsidies should be able to buy into a public option, which is what should have happened when Obamacare was originally passed. Thank you so much, Joe Lieberman. I think that right now we're on the cusp of a real crisis because, like, on the other side of the crisis, there might be an actual fix if we elect Democrats and progressives to actually put in a fix. But in the years between now and then, our bodies are all shitty lottery tickets, guys. And like, there's no winning. Your number might get drawn, you might break your leg, and suddenly you are bankrupt. And we're going to go back to that.
And it's pretty rich for the Make America Healthy Again administration.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you never go to the doctor, you can't get sick. If nobody's telling you...
This is true.
If you never go to the doctor, you can't... If you don't have a diagnosis, you don't have a diagnosis. You're not actually sick. It's sort of like, you know, I've used this comparison before, but, you know, like when you're 25 and you go out for a big weekend and you just don't check your bank account balance on Monday, you're not overdrawn. You're not. You haven't checked it. You're not overdrawn. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, what's the deal with daycares not letting random YouTubers in to film the children?
Mm. Hysteria is brought to you by Smalls. I have three cats. They wake me up every morning. We go into the kitchen. They want their breakfast. They each sit in their special spot because each one of them has a special spot. And I give them their Smalls And then it's time to watch the news. And I think they handle the news much better than I do because they have tummies that are full of smalls. It's 2026. Do you still feed your cat like it's 1926? This podcast is sponsored by Smalls. For a limited time, get 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/hysteria. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. That's why cats.com names Smalls their best overall cat food. Starting with Smalls is easy. Just share your info about your cat's diet, health, and food preferences, then Smalls puts together a personalized sampler for your cat. No more picking between random brands at the store. Smalls has the right food to satisfy any cat's cravings. My cats can be picky. I think if you have a cat, you know when they go and do that paw-paw next to their dish, which means that they're rejecting whatever they have given you because they're picky bitches. Not with Smalls. Doesn't happen with Smalls. Still not a believer in Smalls? Forbes ranks Smalls the best overall cat food, while BuzzFeed said, quote, "My cats went completely ballistic for the stuff." I can attest. One of the most important things, almost all of my cats at some point in their lives have come to me with digestive issues when they were rescued. And then you have to slowly switch them off, whatever they were eating at the rescue, and onto Smalls, and then much better tummies, much better poops, much nicer litter box. After switching to Smalls, 88% of cat owners reported overall health improvements, and that's a big deal. And the team at Smalls is so confident your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. That means they will refund you if your cat won't eat their food. So make 2026 your cat's healthiest year yet. For a limited time, because you're a Hysteria listener, get 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/hysteria. One last time, that's 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/hysteria.
Hysteria is brought to you by Brodo. Alyssa, you know what? When I'm feeling not my best,
you know what?
The thing that I've discovered I need.
What?
90% of the time, I will feel 40% at least better. I just made up those numbers.
And?
Broth. Hot
Same.
Broth.
Aaron.
A big hot 100%. Cup of broth. Bone broth specifically.
I agree. It really, it's better than anything. It has like the nutrients you need. It is, everyone tells you electrolytes, have one of those like gross drinks. I have bone broth.
Okay. So if you're one of those people who has tried bone broth and hasn't liked it, which I cannot wrap my head around that. But if you are, forget everything you thought you knew about bone broth. Our next sponsor makes bone broth so good, I can't stop drinking it. This podcast is sponsored by Brodo. Welcome to the hottest trend in nutrition for the last 2,000 years. Brodo's bone broths are made from scratch, no concentrates, preservatives, or shortcuts, so you get the best broth money can buy.
Brodo makes bone broth that are delicious enough to drink. Each cup delivers whole food protein, about 10 grams per serving, along with collagen-building amino acids, electrolytes, and nutrients to support gut health, immunity, joints, skin, and general wellness, all under 50 calories and with zero sugar or fat.
You know, the other day I stood on my front porch having a pensive moment, holding a cup of something, and I bet people that were walking their dogs past my house thought, that lady's drinking coffee.
Nope.
Bone broth. I had a big glass of broth, and I was using it for heat on my hands. It was great. It was a cozy experience. Brodo was launched by award-winning chef Marco Canora. He started selling Brodo out of the side door of his East Village Manhattan restaurant 11 years ago. That's how you know it's good. And now, whether you want a quick warm drink or nourishing base for cooking, Brodo makes it easy. They ship nationwide, so you don't have to be in New York City to enjoy Chef Marco's masterpiece.
But is broth actually good for you, or is it all just hype? A 2025 study found that amino acids in broth heal leaky guts and strengthen the immune system. In other words, there's real science behind grandma telling you to drink broth when you're sick. And Brodo comes in 8 delicious flavors, from classic chicken to spicy Nona — spicy Nona is my favorite — to more creative blends like ginger turmeric, herb-infused, or veggie-based broths. I recommend trying their sampler pack so you can figure out for yourself what flavor is best for you. From chefs like David Chang and Tom Colicchio to outlets like the New York Times and Good Morning America, Brodo has been consistently recognized as a bone broth pioneer. Shop the best broth on the planet with Brodo. Head to brodo.com/hysteria for 20% off your first subscription order and use code hysteria for an additional $10 off. Once again, that's brodo.com/hysteria for 20% off your first subscription order and an additional $10 off if you use our promo code hysteria.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who know how to spot a rat fuck and take it upon themselves to educate the public. All right, speaking of rat fucks, let's talk about a big rat fuck that's ongoing. Okay, listeners, you've heard us talk about rat fucks before. A rat fuck is, in general, a term for a political dirty trick. But the way that I like to use it is a particular kind of political dirty trick, which is putting a story out that has, like, a couple of kernels of truth in it, and it's surrounded by a big turd of lies. But by the time people are able to dismantle the story and be like, wait a minute, only this is true, only that's true, everything else is made up. The story is the story. The story is in people's heads.
Most Americans don't have that amount of time.
No, exactly. It's sort of like what happened to John Kerry with the Swift boating.
Where yes,
there was a story
exactly
that,
right.
A story that came out that was like, this happened. And then it's like, well, there's like a couple true things about that, but the rest is just like bullshit.
By the time they were done, he wasn't a patriot and he'd thrown all of his medals away.
Exactly. Okay, so nowhere has the power of right-wing media been more apparent lately than in Minnesota. I don't know why. I'm very curious what the, like, reason is for this, if it's, like, a petty reason or a strategic reason or some kind of combination. But Donald Trump and the Trump administration have been gunning for Minnesota, and they've employed some of the right-wing's, like, slimiest little gadflies to assist them. Just this week, Governor Tim Walz announced he would not be seeking re-election since facing growing political pressure over an ongoing fraud investigation into his state's social services system. We'll give you a TLDR here, but it's important to note that this scandal has been going on since 2021. It has been known about. Nothing has been exposed.
No.
This is a known thing. And since then, 92 people have been charged.
Yep.
So not only has it been known, there has been action taken in response to the knowledge. And 62 people and counting have been convicted in this scheme.
Seems like people are facing consequences.
People have been facing consequences, and they've been facing consequences under the leadership of Governor Tim Walz and the DFL.
For 5 years.
For quite some time. Yes, 2021 was 5 years ago.
Yes, it was.
Shut up. Mm-hmm. No.
I know.
Oh, okay, but you might have heard this story swirling around the internet after a viral social media video amplified by Elon Musk, Pam Bondi, and J.D. Vance. Nothing suspicious there.
Stay busy, folks.
Made its rounds in December. The video alleges that child daycare centers in Minneapolis run by Somalis were committing fraud by collecting state and federal funds while not actually running the centers. Okay, so here's what happened. This fucking YouTuber shows up outside of a daycare. I think outside of the daycare's business hours. And is filming and wants to go in and film the children, but isn't allowed to, and therefore fraud. Right? Is that?
Obviously.
Okay. If somebody came to, if some random fucking guy came to my daughter's school and was like, let me in to see the children, or I will expose you for fraud. I would be like, what the? I would literally—
with my camera to film them.
To film the children. Yeah, nothing weird about a man showing up demanding to film the children. Like, were there no gymnastics classes available, sir?
Yes.
Like, any maybe, like, figure skating classes?
Dance classes.
You show up to a pediatrician's office and ask if you can film the children? Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, the fact that this even got traction in the first place screams like botnet to me, like coordinated Johnny Depp, Amber Heard, release the Snyder Cut. Like somebody has been doing some digital dirty tricks to try to amplify the story as more than it is, because a split second of critical thinking reveals that there's, hey, you know what? I feel like we need more information before we come to conclusions.
Is right. Or read the information that's already existed for the last 5 years.
Right. The fallout has been massive, though. Massive.
Yeah.
It's fucking wild. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has now frozen all federal child care funding to the state, which is around $185 million. Okay, just pause for a second, because I feel like these numbers sound big, but when you compare them to the amount of money that we're throwing at, say, Venezuela.
Right.
Not that much money, you know?
Not in the grand scheme. A lot of money to Minnesota.
A lot of money to Minnesota, and it is very important to the people that it serves. But $185 million in the grand scheme of the federal budget is not that much money. Of course, Trump has used this opportunity to levy racist attacks against the Somali community and immigrants, calling them garbage. He's also ended temporary deportation protections to Somali immigrants in Minnesota. So, yes, there has been fraud in the state. It is and was being handled already. the childcare center that this YouTuber tried to demonize was not committing fraud. They have, you know, the people that are in charge of running the center have been in the news, and like it's very obvious there are children there, and like why would they have let a YouTuber in to film the children during this the day?
Ever. And also, this was being handled under Tim Walz, under Joe Biden. Like there is no there. But
I mean, that's
J.D. Alyssa. Vance, retweet away.
Alyssa, that's why I think that somebody like 404 Media or like Taylor Lorenz should look into how authentic the firestorm was around this.
Oh, like, for sure.
Because I do not, this to me stinks of astroturfing. I feel like it was astroturfed until it had enough momentum to, and probably coordinated with like Fox News or like Newsmax or OAN or like one of the chuckle fucks that like just do YouTube shows all day, like Benny Johnson or something like that. And it was amplified in with a purpose. All right. So the Trump administration is basically using, like trying to use his perceived racism against Somalis to justify cutting off childcare funds to the entire state of Minnesota. But there's more, isn't there, Alyssa?
There is, because Trump's vindictiveness does not stop at Minnesota. He's got a cornucopia of Democratic states he's going to investigate. It was also announced this week that HHS is freezing $10 billion in federal funding for five additional states over similar allegations. Unsurprisingly, Aaron, let me round up the states for you. California, Colorado, Illinois, Minnesota, and New York. A senior Trump official commented saying the freeze was due to rampant fraud and giving money to illegals. What? The administration has failed to provide any evidence whatsoever of fraud in these states. California Governor Gavin Newsom responded and called the president deranged and a habitual liar whose relationship with reality ended years ago. We agree. The freeze, Aaron, the freeze is going to severely hurt low-income families in the state. A board member for the Minnesota Child Care Association said, if the funding gets cut off, families lose access to child care, job loss follows pretty quickly after that, and then housing loss follows. It's a real cascade of bad for these families.
Okay, let's correct that, because you know who's going to end up taking the brunt of this is women.
Women,
it's
of course.
This is a direct attack on women's ability to work outside the home and have children. This is a direct attack on that. Something that I kept thinking about in this is like, you know, racism against Somalis and xenophobia is the sort of, they are the tip of the spear, which to the end goal here, which is to make childcare so unaffordable that it's impossible for both parents to work. And when that happens, the parent that stays home is going to be the woman. And you know who wants women to stay home? Project 2025.
J.D.
The
Vance.
Heritage Foundation. J.D. Vance. Like, all of these people, like, that's what they're going for. They're going for female autonomy here. They're trying to force mothers, and then, you know, eventually all women. They're trying to force all women to become mothers and then all mothers to become servants in their own homes. And, like, this is so obvious, so blatant, and to cloak it in this notion of fraud is I think it's pretty trashy. It's pretty bad faith. And we see what they're doing here. You know, in Utah is a state where you would think that childcare options were plentiful because there's so many kids, like big families. You know, it's a very like LDS heavy state. So a lot of people get married young. A lot of people have a lot of kids. But there is a serious shortage of childcare options in Utah. And one of the reasons is because conservative state lawmakers do not believe that children should be looked after outside of their own home. They do not believe in daycare because they think daycare is something that only should be for people that are like forced, like poor women. Poor women should be the only ones who use daycare because they have to go work for rich people. And then rich people should, you know, have to, the women should just stay home. So it's, this is an insidious thing that conservatives and Republicans are doing right in front of our faces. And, like, do not believe them when they say it's about fraud. It's not about fucking fraud. Look at the fraud in the White House.
Do you think they care about fraud? Do you
no,
think
they don't.
Care about fraud is like they central to their identity. Fraud. Lying is central to their identity. This is another lie. They don't care about fraud.
If they cared about fraud, we'd all be having an investigation into the funds being raised for the East Wing renovation.
Yeah. Is that fucking thing ever going to get built? I don't think
so. Who knows
so.
If it's going to get built, but they got a lot of money from a lot of people who have interests before the administration and Congress.
Mm-hmm. Almost like construction is a great way to launder money.
Who or knew? Influence. Oh, Donald Trump. That's who knew.
Yeah. That's why he worked in construction, I feel. It's, yeah, this is pretty blatant and pretty disgusting. And if you're a woman or somebody who cares about women, you should be pretty pissed about this. And, like, don't let people piss on your leg and tell you it's raining. We know what's going on.
Yeah.
They're trying to push women down again because we got too successful in the system that they designed. And they're mad. They're mad about it.
Well, because, Erin, it's like we all know that if they really wanted women to have more children, paid leave would go a real long way. But not even on the table.
No, because they don't want women to they want women to have a bad time. They want women to be pushed down and be forced to be lower than men in all aspects of society. They want to claw back all of the gains that we've made, and they want to push us back into a state of servitude. And I think it's very obvious. I don't know if it's going to work. It's not working. You know, the birth rate hasn't gone up. We're not.
No, it's gone down.
It's gone down. The rate of abortion has not gone down. It's
gone up.
Gone up. Like, this is not incentivizing. Threats and sticks are not incentivizing people to have more kids.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. RFK Jr. has also been really busy this week.
He's just riding over scientists earlier this week. Much to the surprise of the career scientists and vaccine experts at the CDC, they unilaterally overhauled the childhood immunization schedule, according to the Washington Post. Taking effect immediately, the CDC no longer broadly recommends immunization for influenza, rotavirus, hepatitis A, and certain meningococcal diseases that cause meningitis.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Mm-mm. So that is, he's very, very busy doing press releases from HHS. Now, the one slight, I don't know, like smidgy silver lining here is that I was very worried. I'm like, well, now, I mean, look, by doing this, health insurance companies do not have to cover the vaccines that are not recommended.
Not true. Not true. There's some confusion around this.
There is. Over whether it is the CDC guidelines or the Association of ACIP, ACIP.
Yeah,
right?
And there's also the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Yes,
AAP.
So all that to say that the health insurance companies have come out and said that they are going to continue covering all the vaccines through 2026 until all of this can be sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
So
let me add another complicated layer, because I've seen a lot of doomsaying on social media, and I think some of it is like comes from a good place, and I think some of it is people just deliberately trying to like harvest clout by mm-hmm. saying like it's a worst case scenario situation. States have a ton of control
exactly.
over what insurers are allowed to operate in their states. And that
right.
is through employers that operate in the states, through people that are purchasing insurance on the exchanges, and through their own state Medicare and Medicaid programs.
Right. So New York State, for example, has said, this does not affect us.
Yes, exactly. You have a state insurance regulator that is like, so in California, there are specific things that insurance need to cover as part of a basic plan if they want to do business in the state of California. So I can't speak to other whatever, but I like looked into this. So basically, your insurance regulator, whatever state you're in, can say, actually, these are what we require in this
right.
state. That's not to say that it will never come to a point where the federal government challenges those states and tries to override a state regulator, and it goes all the way to the Supreme Court, and then, you know, whatever, and then the Supreme Court
right.
does something stupid, because they always do something stupid. But what is going to happen now is not an instant snap your fingers, suddenly your kids can't get immunizations. So
if you have children or if you know somebody who has small children and they're like, well, I can't get the shots now. Yes, you absolutely can. They are still covered by insurance. Your doctor is not suddenly becoming like a MAGA bot and being like, well, I guess it's not, it doesn't matter anymore. I have not talked to a single physician who is like, yeah, these are great ideas. And I believe like you can and still should follow the recommendations from the actual medical organizations. And those immunizations are still available to you and covered for the time being. Now, over the course of the next several years, if we continue to elect morons with no scientific background to decide science policy and health policy in this U.S., in the U.S., maybe that'll change. But for now, you can still get what you need.
Right.
For now, we need to stop this ship and turn it around. Otherwise, that is going to run out for us, too.
Right. Yes, correct.
Okay. Let's see. What else do we have to – oh, abortion stays legal in Wyoming. Good news.
This is great. The state Supreme Court of Wyoming on Tuesday ruled that two laws banning abortion, one which included a ban on the abortion pill, violated the state constitution, which explicitly writes that people have the right to make their own healthcare decisions. What do you know? Wyoming, of all places, says abortion is healthcare. It's good news.
Mm-hmm.
The ruling was decided in a 4-1 vote, which is particularly surprising and exciting as Wyoming is a very conservative state. While abortion remains legal, and I'd also like to note that there is only one abortion clinic in the state, Republican Governor Mark Gordon has vowed to propose a constitutional amendment banning abortion in the state and put it to voters in the fall.
So here's the thing. Alyssa, you know I don't think Wyoming should be a state.
I think
that it should be cut in two pieces. I think the eastern part should go to South Dakota, and I think the western part should go to Montana.
Yes.
Or like the western third. Like the pretty mm-hmm. part goes to Montana and then the ugly part goes
the
to
big sky, the big sky part.
Yes. The pretty part. The like mountains and Jackson Hole
right.
and all that stuff. That goes in Grand Tetons.
Mm-hmm.
That goes to Montana and the rest of it goes to South Dakota because South Dakota also sucks ass and whatever. They should not get two senators. That's insane. There's like 10 times the number of people like
believe me. We live in New York and California.
We're
underrepresented.
We're underrepresented. But yeah, I mean, good for Wyoming for actually, you know, like reading the words and being like, well, this is what the words mean.
Wyoming's like weirdly correct about things going back in history, right? Like, didn't they have like the first female judge on the bench? Like, they've had a lot of female firsts in Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't, just because it's a woman doesn't mean it's good.
I know, but back then it went from nothing to something, so.
Right. A glass ceiling was broken. Unfortunately, the shards were used to gouge out people's eyes. Okay, one more thing about women breaking the glass ceiling in a bad way. The Barry Weiss era at CBS News continues to mirror the experience of reading a Barry Weiss column, which is that it seems to think very highly of itself whilst aggressively sucking. Barry Weiss axed a 60 Minutes investigative story into El Salvador's detention center, which ended up being very Streisanded.
Yes.
Extreme Streisand effect happened because the segment had aired in Canada. People ripped it and put it on social media, and then everybody watched it. Everybody, so great job, but not on CBS. So, like,
no.
Barry didn't get the ratings
nope.
or the eyeballs.
Nope.
Like, what a brilliant.
YouTube did.
What a stroke of genius from just a news luminary. Anyway, now she's really desperate for honest conversation. It was announced last month that CBS News and the Free Press are partnering for a series of town halls called Things That Matter. Let's do the fucking things that matter. Sponsored by Bank of America. if it's sponsored by Bank of America, I would say among the things that matter isn't customers. The series is set to include debates and conversations around issues affecting Americans, such as AI, foreign policy, public health, immigration, and state of politics. In a true Barry Weissian fashion, this is mm-hmm. all so bad faith. They're doing one on feminism. Ali Beth Stuckey and Liz Plank are supposed to debate, was feminism good for women? They were not, I've heard, the first choice. I heard from someone in the know that Barry Weiss's first choice for this debate, and this should tell you everything you need to know about how honest she's being about what she wants from these debates. Her original choice was Megyn Kelly versus mm-hmm. Alex Cooper.
It's batshit.
That is fucking insane. Like, Megan,
like, just the fact that that was her ideal. Like, it doesn't matter whether,
like,
it ever
noted
happened.
Noted feminist scholar Alex Cooper. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, Alex Cooper is not a feminist philosopher. She's not somebody.
Well,
who
she's not
be,
a debater.
She's
not
a not debater.
Her thing.
She's an interviewer. She has a podcast. She talked about fucking a lot until she got married, and now she doesn't talk about it as much. Like, it's not really my kind of show. A lot of people like it. But it's also not a show where people get really in depth about, like, sociology-based discipline. Feminism is like an academic discipline. And not that every discussion needs to be academic, but to have a discussion between somebody who is Megyn Kelly, who is literally like a spin master propaganda administrator.
Totally.
Versus somebody who interviewed Huda from Love Island. Like, it's not.
Well, there's a difference between being an entertainer, which Alex Cooper is, and a journalist like Barracuda, like Megyn Kelly.
Right. And like, Megyn Kelly, it also, I'm sorry, girl's in her 50s. Like, she does not have her finger on the pulse of what feminism is currently and how it is lived out in the lives of people. I mean, I guess she does have opinions about whether or not it's okay for 40-year-old men to hit on 15-year-old girls. But something tells me that's a little bit out of touch with what most women in their 20s and 30s think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just think this is all going to be bad faith. It's all going to suck. Nobody's going to care. It's going to be kind of like her town hall with Erica Kirk, which was fucking weird and bad.
I mean, it was not exciting. It was not newsworthy. It was not interesting. It was a platform for Erica Kirk to say what she wanted to say. And this feels like a platform for Megyn Kelly to, well, I mean, she won't be on it, but.
Right. I mean, for Ally Beth Stuckey, who, isn't she the one that said something about, like, how empathy was bad or whatever?
I don't know. I've like known her over the years, and like this is, I mean, I don't know why Liz would say yes to this.
Ally Beth Stuckey is a chicken name. I'm just going to say that. It's a name I would give to a hen, and I will not be watching the debate. I do know Liz, and I wish her well, but I think that this is a disingenuous, like, the forum is stacked against one particular view. And Weiss is misrepresenting the way that this is set up, and she's trying to put her thumb on the scales and
you can write the questions. Like, we know the question. We know how Barry's going to frame the whole conversation. Good luck.
It's so phony. That's my problem with all of this. Like, this sort of, like, we're just asking questions. Like, it's so...
We're just having a real conversation.
No, it is so...
That's, like, how we find common ground.
It is so fucking fake. I can't think of a more fake way to have a conversation about feminism than to, like, have a WWF-style WrestleMania, like, debate-a-thon, boom, 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 boom. Like, it's so fucking fake. It's a fake way to communicate.
It's her intellectual cage match.
But she's a fake intellectual.
Well, I know, but I'm just
like saying. Sharing fake news, trying to have fake debates under the guise of being like, oh, I'm just asking questions. It's so, like, I don't know if her fakeness is as irritating to other people as it is to me, but, like, that is the first thing I see when I look at her as someone who is just a fucking phony. I don't think that it's really going to work, but maybe tanking Fox News. Maybe this is the producer's situation, but with the news. Maybe Ellison just wanted to kill CBS News and wanted to have fun watching it die. But this is just, like, really bad. Also, oh, my God, Alyssa, did you see the first broadcast with what's-his-face? Tony Dracula?
I didn't see the first. I've seen Tony. I've seen Tony DeCopel.
sorry. That's mean to make fun of his last name, but I call him Tony Dracula in my head.
I can understand it, like, if you look at the letters, but yeah. I have seen the show since he started, but I didn't see the first one.
There was an episode recently where, like, they just had a complete tech meltdown during the middle of the news, and he was like, oh, we're doing Mark Kelly? Oh, never mind. Okay, I guess we're doing the story. And it was
how uncomfortable.
It was so bad. I'll send it to you, Alyssa. It was, like, really, really bad. And you know what? Love that for Barry. Love that for her. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a show that pushes reality TV so far that the biggest fan of reality TV in our office told us during a meeting this week that the show caused her to hit her limit. We'll be right back. Hysteria is brought to you by Nutrafol. Resolutions come and go, but growth, real lasting growth, takes time. That's why I love that Nutrafol isn't promising a miracle in 30 days. They're here to help you grow your hair and confidence from within, one day at a time.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand trusted by over 1.5 million people. Nutrafol supplements are peer-reviewed, NSF content certified, and clinically tested to measure results in growth, quality, and strength, helping you reach your hair goals with confidence.
See thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. 3 to 6 months is nothing. Honestly.
Nothing. It's nothing. Especially when it works.
Especially when it works. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HYSTERIA10. Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code HYSTERIA10. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HYSTERIA10. Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that wonders if Caroline Leavitt was pregnant when she got her lip injections.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Inquiring minds. I mean, I don't actually want to know, but I sort of am like, okay, those pictures that were in Vanity Fair where mm-hmm. Caroline Leavitt looked like a plastic surgery goblin that also was at the same time.
Painful.
She looked like a 45-year-old, 28-year-old with botched lips. Like, she looked not good. Those pictures were taken in November over the holiday break. Leavitt announced that she's pregnant and due in May. So doing a little bit of like math, she was pregnant in November. Those lip injections were fresh. Mm-hmm. So either Caroline Leavitt knew that she was pregnant and got lip injections anyway, which is a no-no when you're pregnant. You're not supposed to get lip injections or Botox, filler, anything like that. And if your injector injects you without checking to make sure you're pregnant, that's a big no-no for them. They can, like, lose their license.
I mean, considering she is someone who declares herself a Maha mom, seems interesting that she would ignore that guideline.
Yeah, no seed oils, but, yeah, just plump my lips up with, like, whatever question mark chemical. I think that it just says a lot. It says a mm-hmm. lot that that she probably, given her access to healthcare and the fact that she's a woman of reproductive age and she was probably, you know, considering the fact that she could become pregnant, she was probably regularly checking or at least in touch with herself enough to be like, something's weird. Also, she has a kid already. So she probably was like, you know when you're pregnant. If you've been.
Like, I believe you.
You're like, boobs feeling heavy. I'm in a terrible mood and I'm 2 days late for my period. There we are. I'm pregnant. And you find that you usually realize it right away once it's happened already. Anyway, it just says something very interesting about MAGA, that mm-hmm. she felt so insecure about her little tiny, thin little lady lips that she decided to do something considered risky during mm-hmm. a pregnancy in order to look a certain way. Like, she felt like
for a photo shoot where she thought she was going to look like a movie star.
She thought she was going to look like a movie star, and she ended up looking like like a BioShock goblin. and it says a lot. It says a lot. There's a part of me that's like, I almost feel bad for her, for how low her self-esteem must be, or how tied her self-esteem must be to her ability to access like aesthetic changes to her face. Like, I almost feel bad for her, but then she's like an awful person, so I actually don't. And I'm kind of glad that she's crippled with the self-doubt that causes a woman who is pregnant to inject her lips for a photo shoot. Anyway, am I being too nice?
I mean, I have no notes.
I'm just kidding. I'm being very fucking mean. Let's talk a little bit about a show that I regret watching.
Me too, and I watched the whole thing. I watched every episode.
All right. We are talking about Members Only Palm Beach. As we mentioned in the intro, it's like, what? You called it Real Housewives of Mar-a-Lago?
Mar-a-Lago, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you made a drinking game, every time they said Mar-a-Lago, you drink, you'd be in rehab.
You would not be feeling well.
No.
Quickly. It would be like playing Edward 40 Hands. And like,
yeah, after the first episode, you'd be down for the count.
And Edward 40 Hands, but with no access to the remotes, would be like a form of torture. Because this is a show, like Kendra, one of our coworkers here,
yes.
Was like, I reached my limit and I will watch any reality TV. I can't, like, I couldn't watch any more than a couple episodes. So let's talk a little bit about Members Only Palm Beach. Because I think even though it is just pure mental slurry on Netflix, it did bring up a lot of thoughts. So can you talk a little bit about like who the main characters are and what they do in the show?
Well, Erin, it premiered in late December. We just caught onto it this week. Centers around, now they call themselves rich. I say this is up for dispute, but they say that they're rich. So they're a rich
Shots
group of
fired.
Women. We'll get into it, but like, I'm sus. Mm-hmm. In Palm Beach,
which
Florida.
They pronounce Palm Beach.
Palm Beach.
They don't like. Do they not? Palm. Do they like make you surrender the L before you arrive in Florida? Palm Beach. Anyway,
maybe
go on.
this is why the people who actually live in Palm Beach are like, get out of Palm Beach and go ahead and live in Palm Beach.
Yeah.
These women are obsessed with hierarchies, with money, with etiquette. I have never had more conversation around etiquette for thee, not for me, by the way, which if you watch the whole show, you've come to understand.
Uh-huh.
They think other people should have etiquette, but they themselves can show boobs and knees. Yes,
yeah.
They have like clothing etiquette. They have bad surgery and they love to talk about partying at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. So I watched a couple episodes of it. The five women that it centers on are named Taja, Hillary, Roslyn, DJ Marie. What's her name? DJ Tumbles?
Her name DJ Tumbles. Her real name is Marie.
Yeah.
Maria.
Maria. And Romina, who is
yes.
the loud one, who's the newcomer. And she's the one who's actually the prettiest and the least monstrous looking. But she is like,
but she is the most, I think she was the most MAGA.
She's the most, yeah, well.
I think she's the most MAGA.
Yeah, I mean, she's also got the most sus background when it comes to, like, how she made her money. I'm like,
Well, it was really glossed over. We don't know.
She, like her brother owned a home care business, and she did the PR, and then they sold it, and they got, like, $40 million.
Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah. They got $40 million, but somehow, like, $40 million, like, the money and the numbers that these people are talking about don't translate into
right.
the lifestyles that they're living.
Right. And so they do these, like, Real Housewives. I mean, it's clearly, like, a ripoff of Real Housewives because, like, mm-hmm. why mess with a winning formula? But the thing about this show is that all of the women are monstrously mutilated. They are, like, they are so
horrible.
Altered. That, and you can tell that they were all pretty women, like at one point in their
because
lives.
They were.
Yeah, you can see like it, that's what is so, I think, upsetting about looking at. So I'm like watching it. I make my husband watch it with me. I don't know why he sprained his ankle, and so he kind of
so
is like
immobile.
It takes him a lot to like get off the couch. Also, I'm like, don't get off the couch. You sprained your ankle. You know what I mean? So like,
but also it's like more fun to watch a show like this with a sidekick.
Yeah, yeah. So he was like, okay, yeah, no, I'll watch it with you. And I was like, warning, dude, this is like bad. Like this is going, I'd seen clips of it. It looked really bad. We were watching it. My four-year-old comes into the living room, looks up at the screen, recoils in horror. These people have had child-scaring amounts of plastic surgery.
Yes.
And she was like, why do they look like that? And I just made an offhanded comment that I thought would shut the conversation down, which was a bad idea. And I said, because they're bad. They're monsters. And she goes, people aren't monsters. And then she wouldn't shut up. So I had to turn the show off and be like, no, they just like made a bunch of decisions and like they had to go to a doctor to make them look like that. That's not how people really look. And like, you shouldn't want to look like that, blah, 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 blah. And anyway, the show itself, like the women are like just these like museums of Miami level plastic surgery.
Yes.
And they wear clothing that where they sort of look like reef creatures.
Yeah, see, like this is the thing. All they do is talk about designers and we're like taken to all of their closets to see their handbags and shit. But all of the clothes they actually wear, the ones that do not have the logo splashed across the front, all look like bad pageant wear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when Romina comes out at the birthday party or whatever it is at the end. Oops, it was Taj's birthday.
I don't want to know that there's a party. I'm just kidding.
So Taj's birthday party. And she comes out. She's like, this is $50,000 Dolce & Gabbana. And I'm like, can Dolce & Gabbana fact check that? I mean, can they fact check this? It was the only pretty dress in the entire series, in the entire season. But still, none of it, everything except that outfit was absolutely fucking hideous.
Yeah, it's just the fashion is very strange. Also, you know, I watched two episodes and I was like, I can't watch anymore because nothing happens. They have the same conversation six times and then they like voice over and like, okay, Romina's new to Palm Beach and she really wants to like be mentored by somebody. And oh, there's another, you know, there's another woman who is, Maria is trying to help her and she's her friend. And Rosalyn is like being mentored by the Grand Dame whose name's Gail and has an obvious wig.
Oh my God, we know because she falls off a chair and her wig falls off. And it's so the funny. Only moment of sisterhood in the entire eight episodes when everyone... So many things about this scene, by the way. They all like huddle around her. They try to put her wig back on her head. And she is an older woman and she had been drinking. I'm like older. I mean, like I think Gail's like in her 70s or 80s.
She's like 85 plus, I think.
Like, and I was like, Netflix? Shame on you. She agreed to participate, but you should have cut that. That was elder abuse that you just showed on this.
Yeah, but did she deserve it? I think maybe she did a little bit.
I mean, maybe. I mean, look. None of them look.
I am going low.
None of them are nice.
When they go low, I am going lower, and I am coming up from underneath and punching them in the balls. That's my 2026 promise to you, listeners. I think like they're all just insufferable. They have nothing to say except all they talk about is themselves. They don't talk about anything except like what parties they're going to. It's the same conversation over and over again.
Can we just say all the parties they talk about and then we get to see them and they all look like they are just being held in a hotel ballroom of posh hotel.
So here's why. I went to the Town and Country website for some more information on this. And it turns out that Netflix's members only Palm Beach or Palm Beach as they call it, isn't really so much about members only, nor is it really about Palm Beach. Most of where the filming was done was in Palm Beach County, which is one of the biggest counties in Florida, rather than the town of Palm Beach.
Yes.
So town of Palm Beach is like a 14-mile long island. And if you for people who live in actual Palm Beach or around Palm Beach and are familiar with it, there's a difference in status between if you live on the island or if you don't live on the island. Now, is that fucking stupid? I think it is. But does it matter there? Yes, it matters there. Somebody that Town and Country quoted was the fact that a lot of the people, a lot of the show was filmed in the county of Palm Beach versus the town. Here's the quote. It's like ordering Coca-Cola and getting Fanta.
I don't really understand that comparison.
Like Coca-Cola
is fine.
Coca-Cola is not that good, but whatever. I would say maybe it's like ordering Coca-Cola and getting like Mr. Pibb.
Right.
But whatever, Todd Michael Glazer, you're a mega developer, not an intellect. members only producers also filmed mostly on the other side of Lake Worth Lagoon, which is not Palm Beach. It's not the island of Palm Beach. And most of the filming permits were outside of the town of Palm Beach. So what you're seeing is like people, ironically, in members only Palm Beach, it's people who are not members, not in Palm Beach.
Right.
Part of the reason for this is that the town of Palm Beach is very, it's like actual money. Like it's, and they're very, very, very picky about what they allow to be filmed there. I think the town council needs to approve filming and
there are no chains like of any variety, like not even like a San Ambrose. Getting San Ambrose into Palm Beach required like all sorts of permits and
dispensation.
Approval.
Yeah. Yes. It's very much like exclusive and they don't allow people to film really because the people that actually live there don't really want
cameras. They don't want to be filmed.
No, no. So anyway, it's very funny because it's not actually Palm Beach. What was the, there's a quote in this piece about
the one with the people from, this is, just as the series distanced itself from the actual town, some Palm Beachers hope the town distances itself from the series. The one with the people from Boca replies Islander Ryan Williams when asked about his reaction to the new show. That's a whole different world down there.
Oh, not with the
Boca. Shots fired.
Oh, man. Rat mouth, Florida. You better step up. Boca Raton is nice, right? I don't know.
I mean, it's near the water.
It's nice, but it's not Palm Beach, as they talk about on the show.
Palm Beach.
Palm Beach. So the thing that I think that they're trying to make happen with this show is like, oh, what about a Real Housewives with like MAGA people? I was confused watching it because I was like, what are they doing? Because it didn't seem like they – like, I feel like when you watch The Real Housewives, the people that make it know that The Real Housewives are sort of silly, big, ridiculous characters. But there is a love for them.
They're interesting in some way.
Right. They're complicated.
Or funny, or they
smart.
Have something.
Right.
This was the least interesting group of people ever assembled on a television show.
It just seemed like a warning. Like, what this is.
And there was a lot of, like, you know, they tried to make this show, I guess, appeal. I mean, they featured MAGA. I don't know if you watch it and you are MAGA that you're like, yeah, those are my people.
Yeah.
You
like,
know,
have you ever been
one.
To Iowa? Nobody looks like that. Like,
no.
Nobody looks like that in, yeah, anyway.
And also the, you know, I watched it and I was, and Romina, who is Uzbek. And this is throughout the show because Gail keeps calling her Pakistani and everything but Uzbek, even though she keeps reminding her.
Uzbekistan isn't even that close to Pakistan, is it?
No, Uzbekistan was like part of Russia.
It's like more than, it's like a couple, but it's like a stan away. Like
they're
it's not Pakistan, Afghanistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, right? Like it's
but
far.
It's like, but it's like clearly, and Gail makes all these references to your religion and her religion. And Romina's like, I want to be like, Romina, girl, you love Donald Trump and you want to go to Mar-a-Lago and you think this is the coolest thing ever. And Gail is like pretty representative of what they think of you.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, there's something tragic about that. But it's also like a mantra that I'm trying to like repeat to myself this year is like, I can't learn it for you. Like, I can't
know.
You can't learn something for somebody. You have to like let them discover it for them. So you can tell them.
We do.
But you can't learn it for them.
But you know what show I would have liked to watch?
Mm-hmm.
Because I did watch all the episodes and I know that you guys tapped out. There is a clip that they show of Roslyn back when she was a Zumba instructor in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. That Roslyn would have been fun to watch. Because those videos were hilarious and she was having a good time and wasn't so fucking tense and like distorted in her face. So anyway.
They could do a members only Bucks County.
Yeah, go to Bucks County. Bring her back to her roots.
That's where my father-in-law is from. And I cannot think of anybody who seems more fundamentally different than all the Pennsylvania. There's a lot of Pennsylvania transplants on this show, which is very funny.
There are. Romina, too.
Yeah. And my husband, who is from Pennsylvania, was like, oh, yeah, I bet those people were just like decided that living in a purple state was like living in communist Russia. And they just flounced off to Florida because they just couldn't take living with people who were normal. And I was like, yeah, that sounds pretty much right. It just seemed very like, it felt like a warning. And the fact that my child saw it and was like, ugh, was like,
yeah.
It gave me a little bit of, even though it is like kind of grotesque and a real like end of like a gilded age, like a fucked up gilded age moment. It did give me a little hope because it's like, this is so deviant from anything normal, natural, healthy, good, interesting, that like it cannot possibly have any staying power. Like we'll look back on the aesthetics of the Trump era, of like the wealthiest people in the Trump era, specifically the men too, but also like the women. We're going to look back on it someday and people will study it as like this deviant moment in history and it will be made fun of. Like, you know, like what when we read about like pre-revolutionary France and the way that like, you know, they dressed in their wigs and everything. It's just like that looked ridiculous. This looks ridiculous.
Couldn't have been comfortable.
No, couldn't have been comfortable. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sani Petty.
Hysteria is brought to you by Tovala. Erin, how much cooking have you been doing lately?
Not much, honestly. I just get home and I'm like, no, no, I'm not doing it. But I did do some, I've been doing some reheating.
And?
I've been doing some reheating. And you know what? Thank God I have a Tovala. Thank effing God.
Making things a little easier?
Making things so much easier. Like I get home and I've got a bad, heavy case of the don't wannas. Everybody knows I've got the don't wannas real bad. And I'm like getting my kids dinner. And of course, they want two different things and they both require two different processes. And by the time it's time for me to eat, I'm like, I don't know, what can I heat up? And like the Tovala oven is such a good way to take something that is like leftovers and heat them up in a way that is like loving. And it makes them taste crispy and edible and good.
And new.
Yes. I ate some old chicken fingers the other day, but I put them in, I used the like the dumb oven version. Tovala is a smart oven, but I used the dumb oven version. So I like air fried them. So I just, they're crispy. They tasted great. They were heated evenly. It didn't take very much time. I was like, I'm so glad. I gave it a little pat on its little head.
Perfect.
And I was like, little
good
oven.
Good job, Tovala.
You are saving my holiday season. This podcast is sponsored by Tovala. Tovala is a smart meal delivery service, fresh meals, and a smart oven that does the cooking for you. Tovala makes it so easy. You just scan the meal's QR code, pop it in the oven, and it cooks everything perfectly, steams, bakes, broils automatically. No guesswork needed. And during Tovala's New Year sale, you can get a free Tovala smart oven when you order meals six or more times by heading to Tovala.com/hysteria using my code hysteria. The meals are actually really good too.
Unbelievable deal.
It could not be easier. You just go on the website. It tells you what the options are. You just, you order what you want. They come in a box to your porch. They're in like little containers.
Perfect.
When it's time to cook them, you just, you read the little directions. Sometimes you have to take something out and like put it on at the very end, but you just scan it. And then the oven knows exactly what to do. It knows what to steam. It knows
amazing.
What temperature. It knows all the stuff. And it comes out great. And honestly, if you're like, I do not want to do any dishes, I just want to eat it out of this container, no shame in that.
You can recycle.
Do that. You could do that too.
Tovala's smart oven, Erin, it's not just for their meals, as you said. You can also use the oven to scan store-bought groceries like Eggo waffles, my personal favorite, Pillsbury cinnamon rolls. Oh. I love that snow day to me is a Pillsbury
so
cinnamon
good.
Roll. And Amy's frozen meals, to name a few, and it knows how to cook them too. If you're like most people, Tovala is great because you can eat better without putting in a ton of effort. There are high protein options, calorie smart options, gluten-free options, comfort food, whatever you're into. With Tovala, you can finally remove dinner from your to-do list. So for a limited time, because you're a Hysteria listener, during Tovala's New Year sale, you can get a free Tovala smart oven when you order six or more meals by heading to Tovala.com/hysteria using our code hysteria. That's a free Tovala smart oven when you head to Tovala.com/hysteria and use our promo code hysteria. One last time, that's Tovala.com, and make sure you use our promo code hysteria for a free Tovala smart oven. Remember, with Tovala, dinner is taken care of.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who only watch boxing or human fighting when a bad person's jaw gets broken.
Okay.
It's going to be a preview of my Sani.
Okay. I'm here for it.
Before we get to that, some announcements for the class. Following the breaking news out of Venezuela, where the Trump administration launched strikes and arrested President Nicolas Maduro in a special forces raid, Tommy Vitor and Ben Rhodes unpack what happened in a breaking news episode of Pod Save the World. This is a must listen, guys. Must listen.
It is. They break down Trump's claim that the U.S. will now run the country, why this kind of regime change is illegal, and the global implications of the move.
A new episode of Pod Save the World dropped on Wednesday of this week, continuing that conversation and covering other major news developments around the world. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss a beat. Now let's get to Sani Petty. Alyssa, do you want to get us started?
Sure. Erin, have you heard of Courtney Cook Instagram?
No.
Okay. So over the holiday, I mean, I don't know what it says about me, but she ended up in my feed, and her handle is Courtney Cook Insta.
Okay.
And there was this trend that everybody was doing where you have like a sweet potato and you shove a piece of cheese in the sweet potato. Did this get surfaced to you?
What? No. Yeah.
Okay, so it didn't. So anyway, this woman cooks a potato and she's like, let's try it. And she sticks this hunk of cheese into the potato and eats it like a candy bar.
Wait,
but it's like
how?
A huge potato.
Is it like a well, is it like a boiled
So
potato?
Here's the thing. You watch it. Yes, it's either boiled or baked. Can't really tell. Cuts okay. the top off. And then sometimes, depending on how hot the potato is, you can just shove the cheese in. Sometimes she needs to make a little entry point for it with a spoon or a fork.
Okay.
But I'm like, who? I was like, I think she might be unwell. And so I went to her page. And Erin, I can't end my day now without watching her absolutely bananas enthusiasm over eating. She is like if Matthew McConaughey was given an Instagram and was like, make people care about how enthusiastic you are about food, because she's an English teacher. She is a British lit teacher in a high school. I don't know where. Mm-hmm. Sometimes she does her videos with hot rollers in. She is always just absolutely eating her food with gusto, usually in the break room at her school, where she has made Weetabix go viral. And she actually took Weetabix and like dunked them in chocolate and it got hard. And then she brought them in and I'm like, oh, is this going to be like a candy bar? And then she dunked like strawberry Nesquik on them. And I'm like, what is this woman doing? But the comments are really interesting because no one is shitty.
Like fetish adjacent. I'm just going to say.
It is. No, it is. Okay. It is like food porn. It is okay. Like a weird kind of, you know, and she makes like the soy marinated hard-boiled eggs and puts like chicken salad on top of them and then like a pickle and then kimchi. And it's, so the funny thing is like, because we've talked so much just between the two of us and on the show at times about food culture and skinny culture and all of this, that my first thing when I watched her, I was like, what the fuck is her metabolism? Like, how the fuck does this woman eat all this food? Mm-hmm. And so people have mentioned this. No one is judging. No one is shaming her. They're just like, girl, I wish I had your metabolism. But then other, like, dietitians get into the comments and they're like, actually, it's high protein, like, low refined sugar, low carbohydrate. And, like, everyone's been breaking down what she eats. And I can't lie. Some of her recipes have gotten me. I'm like, should I order this from Trader Joe's? Should I get into the kimchi like she is? But in general, she's a very fucking nice person who really just loves breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I'm okay. just, and she, and I want to get her hot rollers that her mom gave her.
I suspect that many of the people who watch her content are mm-hmm. getting a different satisfaction from it than you are.
Like, I think that's probably true.
Yeah, it's just I feel like a lot of stuff when I see something where it's like this person's eating and they're really happy about it, or it's like this person is like taking something apart and like it's very slow, or like if there's something, I don't know.
I'm sure it's true, but in a world that is increasingly stressful, when I got into bed last night, I was like, I haven't seen what Courtney was up to today. And I found her page and I was like, oh, she's back at school. Thank God. We're back to her lunch break snacks.
All right. You're in a cult. Let me know when you get into the like collective cottage living situation, because I'm in the market for a cult in 2026, I think.
Okay.
Like I, you know, getting in touch with my spirituality, I've done that through 2025. And like, I'm not going to stop doing that. But like, I might want to supercharge it this year. Like,
telling you.
Countryside cult of eating. I think that'd be fine.
Joyful eating.
Yeah, right. Joyful eating. What else can you do? All right. So my Sani is just like very, it's Sani petty, but whatever. And this happened over the break as well. So we're going to round out our holiday leftovers just right now, because we got to throw the rest of them away at this point. They're too old.
Yeah.
Right?
Cleaned out the fridge.
100%. Right. Final holiday leftovers. Influencer Jake Paul was in a boxing match with Anthony Joshua on December 19th, and during the sixth round of that match, he got his fucking jaw broken.
Oh.
Now, I don't like boxing. I think it's like human dogfighting. I think it's like probably a really bad sport, and I don't like watching people getting hurt, unless they're people that I, obnoxious men.
I like watching.
In general, less violence.
I think, but I enjoyed watching. But like boxing is a consent violent. It's like everyone in the ring is consenting to inflict and receive violence.
Yes.
So I don't like watching that. But I did find out that Jake Paul had lost, and then I watched the clip of the moment he lost, and his jaw did get broken. And Jake Paul has been like a defender of ICE raids, and he's just been a real piece of shit with terrible opinions, who somehow profited massively from just being a total fucking loser. And it's just really great to see him just unmanned in the ring, unmanned by a very beautiful man who I had not been aware of previously to watching that. So watching the clip of him getting his jaw broken by like a god is really nice.
Can I
gotta
ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
As part of getting his jaw broken, does it mean it's now wired shut?
Yes. And as a result of that, on the 4th of January, the Florida Athletic Commission announced that Paul has been suspended indefinitely from fighting because of his medical. You can't fight with a broken jaw. It's not like he did something wrong, but his bones weren't good enough to fight. So he's on an indefinite medical suspension until his jaw gets fixed, and he'll need to be cleared by a physician. So love it. Love to see
it. Love that.
Love to see it. All right. That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria, the first of 2026 and the first of many to come. So thank you for joining us. Listeners, if you want to get in touch with us, hysteria@crooked.com is our email address. Alyssa Mastromonaco, thank you for being my ride or die and my like pet doula.
Thank you.
Forever. I think
forever and ever.
I think I text you about animals like once a day. Listeners, again, thank you so much for joining us. There will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Adrian Hill is our head of news and politics. Kendra James is our executive producer of culture and entertainment. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.